Well, good afternoon and welcome to Borough Business. This is Hannah Floor, and I'm joined here in Studio One by Donna Marsh, Vice Mayor. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Good to be here. And by Jay Stanton Gregor, Assembly Member.
Greetings.
Hello. Thanks for being here, you guys. Looking at the agenda for today, the first thing that I wanted to ask about is this sale of borough-owned land to Weecon Enterprises. And it's a little bit complicated. I wanted to sort of establish what had happened earlier this summer, because it is complicated, the fact that the borough owns the land that this building is sitting on. And so the borough is selling the land to the business that has built a permanent structure on top of it. And I first was hoping one of you could explain just a little bit about the background as to why the borough has it. And I'm not sure whether I couldn't find in the code whether it's actually in the code or it's just precedent that's been set that the borough does not sell those title properties. And so this is sort of setting a new precedent. So can somebody explain the reasoning behind that to start off with?
Yeah, I'll jump right in. So my understanding is that this has not been done before with borough leased land that the borough owns leased to private businesses. And this parcel in question has a 55-year lease. And in the lease documents, it spells out where the lessor, I believe the person who is leasing the land from the borough, gets to, it's divided into 5-year chunks. And at the end of a 5-year time period, as specified in the lease, the person or their entity can vacate the lease and legally. And so, meanwhile, there is an annual payment for that lease to the borough. And where this, I believe, falls into uncharted territory is that this has not been done before with borough leased land. So the fact that we have an entity who wants to buy their parcel so that they can subsequently sell it is breaking new ground. And
The reason that the borough has previously not sold that land is because they wanted to keep all of that whole strip of waterfront, what's called tideland, but it's essentially the waterfront all along the front mm-hmm. of town. They wanted to keep that because they wanted to, you know, the example that I was thinking of is they didn't want it to be a bunch of restaurants. They wanted to make sure that that space could be used for marine development and,
yes.
and fishing and marine related things.
Yes. So the business that's there now, a machine shop, has been a critical piece of the commercial fishing fleet, and you know, a very a wonderful piece of Petersburg business economically to keep the fleet afloat, as well as other harbor users. So it does pose a question, and I believe with the master plan, the harbor master plan, if the borough retained that property, they could specify, they could make sure that it is strictly for the maritime uses mm-hmm. rather than, you know, me setting up an ice cream shop or
right.
what have you
right,
kind
right.
of thing.
Okay, and so then that's the background. And then the business at hand tonight is looking at the sale price for that land. Jay, do you want to take a little bit of a stab at what's going on with that sale price?
Yeah, you bet. The decision that you're referring to this summer to, sell the lots. So you know, I was obviously not a part of the assembly during that. I would have been inclined not to vote for that, not because I don't think the Weecons have a good plan that I support. I just worried about it, the precedent it could set for other waterfront properties. But that's neither here nor there at this point, because the decision was made by the assembly. So I think the city manager did a good job of thinking long term as far as setting precedent. For instance, the appraisal of the parcel was at $100,000. I think there was some contention if hiring an appraiser was a wise move. I think it was. Again, just because if we're selling this one, it probably won't be the last. So I think setting a good precedent moving forward of how we're going to. So I think the appraisal thing was a good piece. One that Donna mentioned, you know, that comes in 5-year increments. When I was talking to the business owners, I was asking about how it came to be a 55-year lease. And I thought their point was pretty valid, that if they're just renewing it every 5 years without something guaranteed, they could be outbid in 5 years, and the structure they put on there, they lose. If that makes sense as a way to phrase it.
Can you clarify that?
Yeah, you bet. So by getting a 55-year lease, the Wecon family, you know, is locked into that property with an option every 5 years to say, yeah, we're going to get out of this or keep it up. But there is no competition at the 5-year
gotcha.
Mark.
Okay.
And if they had done it on just like a 5-year as you go thing, that would have had some inherent vulnerability.
Gotcha.
So I bring that up because of the counteroffer that the Wecons made of proposing to pay the 2 years left of the lease agreement in the 5-year thing as opposed to their 23. I'll be curious to see what the assembly, if anyone makes a motion to, do that or to a compromise or go at it as I think that's one I could wrap my brain around. I do think the appraised value, though, is fair at $100,000.
And that was a question I had, and I have to admit I tried to call Debbie and Steve, and they're both out today.
Yes.
So I really wanted to know the reasoning behind paying for the entire rest of that 55-year lease, and I'm curious if you guys have talked with either of them and if you understand the reason behind that entire chunk of the lease, their entire remaining chunk.
I'll go first real quick. I do not want to speak for Steve or Debbie, but from what I gleaned from that is, like in any other lease, if you want out of it, you pay the remainder of your lease to get clear of it. I think it was not trying to overthink it, but I think it was just that simple, like, okay, 23 left on it. Let's wipe the slate clean.
Okay.
As far as I understand it, Donna, I don't know.
I would concur, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you guys stand on this price? What do you think is a fair price?
Considering that there are 23 years left on the lease, on one hand, and I'm going to give some background, some other pieces of the pie, and the borough essentially was counting on the Wecons carrying out the life of that lease, it would make it difficult for the borough if they vacated it at 23 years with 23 years remaining. Then if they remove their building, the concrete pad and the improvements they've made to it, that would put the borough back at square one, where they could then release it to another entity. But because so much development has occurred on that parcel, it makes it extremely difficult for another entity to come in and take over the lease. And I understand that in the business plan that is at play here, that is not the goal, to take over a lease, but to actually purchase the land so then that they could improve it and do with it whatever they would like. So I believe the price that Steve has derived after visiting with him and Debbie and studying the issue and talking to some other people, it does make sense that because it was a direct sale, that the life of the lease is paid. I think that direct sale was not in the best interest of the borough, but the assembly voted to do that, go that route. So here we are. I understand the dilemma on both sides. So I'm still chewing on it.
And Jay, you were over there nodding when Donna was talking about the direct sale.
Well, yeah, it's not a way I would have gone. Like I said, I wouldn't have been a part of selling it to begin with. But again, neither here nor there. In regards to the price, though, like I think trust the appraiser. That's why you hire an appraiser. In terms of the years left on the lease, though, I'd be open to discussing that with the folks at the assembly tonight and see if there's any other ideas for compromise or paying out the remainder of the lease. I think I respect the Wecons for bringing those points up in good faith of trying to find a middle ground. I don't know if the assembly wants to or not. I'm inclined, to have the remainder of the lease paid, but I'm, again, willing to compromise on that. And I see the logic of what they were thinking right there, because they could have abandoned it two more years from now anyway, and not paid a penalty to get out of it. So and then it gets more complex because we're selling it at the end of the lease. So just a couple layers in there, right?
And the additional layer, I think, and Jay, you mentioned it before, is the precedence we're setting.
Yeah.
Because whatever we do is going to lay the groundwork for anybody else who holds a lease. So I think we need to tread very carefully. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because there was so much talk about setting precedent with the decision to make to sell this land, but then the manner of figuring out how much to sell the land for is another, a whole nother layer of setting precedent.
And we're already, I think we've already gotten another application for a similar neighboring property to purchase a lease as well. So we're, it's going to be a thing.
Here we go.
Wow. Are you concerned that the sale might not go through and if an agreement isn't reached, and what happens in that case? Is that part of your calculus?
It really has not been, because we can't, I myself obviously don't know what the Wecon's plan B is or, you know, that kind of thing. I know that the borough has counted on this leased revenue for a long time, 50, you know, planning on 55 years, as well as with other parties on other leased property. So I believe the total value of the total revenue that the borough takes in from leased property is about $300,000 a year. So that's a huge chunk of money, and the majority of that goes to the harbor. So then you're going to have a trickle-down effect that if the harbor is out that much money, it's going to be up to the ratepayers to make up the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also huge.
Is there anything you want to add to that?
Oh, just in terms of the calculus of if the deal falls through, no, I went back to the meeting from the summer, and the way it was written was to entrust the borough manager to negotiate the purchase of or the sale of the property. So not to be simplistic, but I just want to trust the process.
Okay. Is there anything else that either of you want to add on this topic?
No, I'm anxious for a discussion tonight to see, like Jay mentioned, again, if there's a willingness for the assembly to discuss a compromise, if you will. I also agree that the assessed value, the appraised value, commercial appraisal, was fair and just. An industrial property is at a premium. There's not many parcels left. So to compromise on that, seeing it's only worth $75,000, I think that's undercutting its true value.
Mm-hmm. And just to really make it clear, this was in the packet, the assembly packet. Assessed value is done in chunks where you look at the whole, you know, it's like the 10,000 square foot view or 10,000 foot view of land in a whole bunch of different lands, parcels of land, whereas the appraisal is looking at a very specific piece of property.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying
and
that.
And assessing that. I only just learned this fairly recently, so I'm assuming there are others out there that don't realize. So the appraisal is the one that is very specific to that piece of property and, you know, because of that, more accurate. And the appraisal is the one that you actually have to pay for. And that's what part of this fee that is in this sale price is referring to.
Which is, I think would be a very good precedent if the borough is going to get into the business of selling leases to have our process be pretty tight.
Meaning making sure that each piece gets appraised before it's been sold.
Again, I don't want to speak for Steve, but that's the feeling I get from that. Like it made, and if so, that is his logic. I think it's very sound logic to be consistent, so no one can say, hey, this was appraised or this wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes sense.
All right. Well, I'm also interested to see how this discussion goes tonight. Another thing on the agenda is the adjustment of the budget. And there's a whole bunch of stuff on there. There are some grants that have been received. There's some capital projects that have not yet received grants. And so the borough is going to be voting whether to or not to give some funding, what seems to be in sort of a placeholder for the Blind Sleuth project. I'm curious if there are any of those adjustments in the budget that either of you want to highlight.
Sure. I'll bring up the hydro one that you brought up, Hannah, which is $880,000, which is a lot of money, obviously. Carl and I were speaking at length about that, and yes, we're hoping to get money coming in for that. But to take this out of funds from the electrical reserves right now makes sense because we have to pay for the work. Not something we can just, you know, we're tidying up that project right now. So hopefully, since it's such a big chunk of money, I thought I'd address that one, that it's in, you know, should be just a placeholder as we're waiting, because the grant we did apply from the, I believe, the governor's office, we were reminded it fits that criteria. So we obviously qualify for it. So it's kind of hurry up and wait now on that one.
So is, I noticed the language in that. It said when the grant comes through, which sounds like it's, folks are quite certain that it will. And is that just because this particular grant is given out every time something fits the criteria? It's not a competitive grant?
My understanding is not a competitive grant, so we do fit the criteria. So it, I believe it's just a matter of time.
Okay.
But, like, say the bills have to be paid.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, the last item is the $132,000 increase for the newly negotiated agreement between the borough and IBEW. So that put us more at a competitive level. We need a lineman, but we can't get a lineman at $48 an hour. So we have to up our ante, if you will, to reach a competitive level where we can bring some qualified people in and maintain the services, you know, the electrical services. I don't believe electricity is a fluff utility, but we do need qualified people who can run it safely and, you know, help their fellow workers operate safely. So I believe this was a good move on the borough's part, and the negotiations went pretty seamlessly, which I appreciate those who were involved in that.
All right. And then another item on the agenda, a letter of support for Petersburg Medical Center's submission to Governor Dunleavy's financial year 2025 capital budget. They're looking for $37 million for construction of phase four of the main hospital building. I'm curious whether either, both of you support that letter.
I don't. I see an iceberg ahead, and we're on a direct collision course. So we've already got $28 million, and this is an additional 37, so that puts us, what, that's quickly on the math, what, $68 million. And then another $30 million is going to be requested. So we're already $10 million over the estimated $86 million. And I myself just see continued escalating prices with inflation. It's going to be a grand facility, but I firmly believe Petersburg cannot support or maintain it. And I believe that many people are still going to opt to take their medical down south, where it's cheaper. So you can get an MRI here. That's wonderful. But if I can get it $3,000 cheaper in Idaho or Arizona or wherever, I'm going to go that route. And I guess that's the prerogative to do that. I think having some of these new opportunities here to receive medical care will open the door for a lot of people. And that's great. But I think in the long term, Petersburg cannot afford this. So I myself am not encouraged by this.
What about you, Jay?
Yeah, I'm in the 180-degree other mindset on that one. Where I, and aside from the project itself, this $37 million ask, this is the process for getting big infrastructure built through different grant-funded, you know, streams, including the governor's capital budget. Obviously, just because we're asking for that money, if this does go through as a pass, or this passes the assembly, there's no guarantees we're going to get one dime of that, let alone $37 million. But I think the approach CEO Hofstetter has taken of trying to keep these large dollar amounts off of the backs of the Petersburg taxpayers and being done in phases like he's talked about ad nauseum, you know, it's a good play. And to put it in really simple terms, can't hurt to ask, because $37 million, that's a lot of money for the next phase, and it'd be really well-timed.
And just to be crystal clear here, this is a chunk of money that is not a loan. It will not be need to be repaid.
Correct.
And then I'm curious, Donna, you said you're not in support of it. I'm curious if there is a point, you know, they just started breaking ground.
Yes, they did.
Right off of Haugen and 8th last week. And I'm curious if there's a point in the construction where you will decide that you are in favor of looking for that money? Is there a point where, you know, it's 3 years underway, will you start to support those? Or how do you think about that once the construction is fully underway?
I've had a lot of arguments with myself back and forth and talking to other people. At what point do I just embrace the whole project? It's hard to embrace a collision. And good may come out of collisions, but at this one, I'm not seeing that. I know the fishing industry has taken a massive hit this last year with the salmon being flooded by the Russian fish coming in. That they're looking at 10 to 12 cents a pound for salmon next year, and that's going to hurt a lot of people in this town. I have talked to Mr. Hofstetter about what the likelihood would be if we receive some grant money, or likely to receive some grant money, when the grantor said, okay, we need a community match. And so then we're hit with a significant amount of money that we need to come up with through a bond or however we can garnish that. So I don't see myself in the foreseeable future saying this is a great project.
All right. Well, we will keep checking in with you.
Thank you.
As they continue to look for more funding for that. The last item on the agenda today is the SEPA representation. So the borough gets two voting members and two alternate members on the SEPA board. I forgot to write the SEPA out, and I can never remember what it, the Southeast Alaska
Power Association.
Power Association. Yes. Thank you. And currently, we have Bob Lynn and Carl Hagerman as the voting members. They have expressed interest in staying on as voting members. Mark Jensen, Mayor Jensen, has expressed interest in being an alternate member. And Thomas Fine Walsh is looking at either being a voting or an alternate member. I'm curious what you guys make of this, if you have anything that you want to point out, anything of note here. It doesn't seem like a terribly controversial, but maybe there's something I'm missing.
I don't think we got any other, I guess we'll find out at the meeting. I don't know if any other applications came in or not.
They would have come in after Monday when last Monday was the deadline.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And I think this is all of it. So, no, it seems pretty straightforward. You know, Carl and Bob have been doing that for, 6 years now, give or take. I'm just spitballing them. It's been a long time, and for anyone listening to the assembly, they both give their SEPA reports now and again. They're good attention to detail. Both know their business at this point. They have a good level of expertise. I see no reason to change things.
I would agree.
All right. Well, we have reached the end of the agenda. We have 5 minutes left. I'm curious whether there's anything that either of you are interested in bringing up, looking forward to future meetings. I know there's several things that are coming up on the agenda for December 4th. The main thing that I keep hearing about being the Skylark subdivision. Is there anything that you want to mention?
I'm anxious to hear more details on what the layout is. I know that's been sketched out, and we've been given rough ideas of how the platting is going to look and where the roads are going to go through and things like that. I am interested in more information. I don't think we can I don't think it would harm us to have that additional information, and I understand that without the approval, it would be difficult for the Burrells to proceed because it's expensive to get the platting and the subdivision layout. But I think those are some critical pieces that this is a massive project, and again, would have long-term repercussions.
And I realize we haven't given any background to this project. We just launched right into it. I'm sorry. This is the project to build a subdivision for manufactured homes and stick-built homes that would be, I think the square footage was
7,500 square feet
per lot.
75 by 100 size lots.
Yeah, and that's just west of Severson subdivision. And currently, I believe they are I think some of the borough officials are looking at the possibility of changing the borough ordinance to make it possible for purchasing at under assessed value for private entities. And so that is, I think, one of the things that will be on the agenda at the next assembly.
Yes.
So
that's really that's the big thing in the project, the idea of what that negotiated or potentially negotiated sale price would be. I've been reading the correspondence with the boroughs and the borough manager, and right now it's back and forth on the potential negotiation on that, because like you said, Hannah, as of right now, you can't sell anything for less than assessed value. But we're going to see if there's a will from the assembly to do that, and if so, not to get back to the idea of precedent again of selling below assessed value, what's our threshold for, 80% of, 90% of us, the more of the layers, I guess, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see how that stuff plays out, because the details are pretty important for me thinking about moving forward on that.
Yeah, and it seems like there is a lot going on right now with land use and borough land sale. I know, in the newscast today, there's a story about PIA looking to buy borough land, mm-hmm. and they can now purchase land under assessed value. That was something that the borough mm-hmm. approved unanimously this summer. So that's going to be at the next mm-hmm. the next assembly meeting as well. So a lot about land use and a lot
yes.
about the borough selling land.
And it will affect the town for generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like most of it is quite new, so there's a lot of precedent setting in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
All right, well, if there's nothing left to add, we are going to call it. Thank you both so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you bet, Hannah. Pleasure being here.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you.